All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Jude. The book of Jude, that small little book right before the book of Revelation, towards the back of your Bible. The text is Jude 3. It's printed in your bulletin. There is also a companion paper to this sermon, which is located on the table, as several scripture texts will be quoted within the body of this sermon. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now this letter of Jude, or the epistle of Jude, was written to believers, not only to encourage them on their Christian journey, but also to warn them of apostates or false teachers. Now such teachers were around peddling their trade in Old Testament times. They were around in the days of Jesus and his apostles, and guess what, friends? They're around today. They're around this morning in pulpits all across the city, the state, the country, and the globe. The Apostle Paul prophesied that apostates would always be seeking and sometimes gain a foothold in the church, saying this: "For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Jesus says of the day of judgment, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' For you see, if the doctrine is not according to what was once for all given to the saints, neither then will be the deeds. For the motive of the heart is impure and sick at its core. Now it is incumbent upon all Christians, and particularly ministers and teachers, to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, contending earnestly for the faith according to the exhortation in our text, and warning the faithful, knowing this, that our judgment will be according to the influence and stewardship entrusted to each one of us by God through the Holy Spirit." Now, with the help of God, I endeavor not to be remiss in those duties this morning. You'll notice sometimes, from time to time, perhaps every other month or so, I'll deliver a message like this, the Christian message. Ought not to be all, you know, positive, happy, happy, joy, joy, feel good all the time, but it ought to be balanced with admonition and warning against those who teach falsehood. To this end, we will take six applications from our text this morning. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The first application, that there is one faith. We have it here in our text. The faith, definite article. That this faith was delivered, once for all delivered, by means of what? The Holy Scriptures, right? That the content of the Christian faith is doctrinal. That we are to contend for this faith, but not to compromise the faith. We are compromising with false doctrine leads us, and I'll give you some examples this morning. And then we'll end with a warning against associations that will hinder the Christian, and an exhortation to take heed to your associations. There is one faith. Notice the definite article in our text. Contend earnestly for the faith. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father in all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Christianity is unified in the spiritual bond, and that unification cannot be found or put together by men, but it is brought about by God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Any effort that God makes to unify a particular people is destined for success. But any effort that man makes to unify particular groups of people or denominations or what have you is destined for failure. For this unity is in what God Himself has established. That one faith is shared by individual believers, some believers of many denominations who believe in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the essential content of the faith, that Jesus Christ is God, that He is the only way to heaven. For those who will not believe such a thing, are in apostasy. They're worshiping idols. They're setting aside other gods aside from Jesus Christ and diminishing His work, which accomplished salvation, through which salvation was made available to all men and women everywhere. And it is this gospel that we preach, that He came to earth, lived a sinless life, died, was buried, and rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Now this faith was delivered by means of the Holy Scriptures. Otherwise, how would we know its content? The reason we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the reason we know that there is one way by which men and women might attain salvation, is because it has been witnessed to us through His Spirit, and it is based upon the objective truth in God's Word. What's your objective truth? The writings of men and women? What others think or say? How you feel about something? Well, friends, my objective truth is rooted in what God has said. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. There are those who do not believe that Scripture is without error, or they try to explain away parts of Scripture because it offends them or it opposes society. Many churches, for instance, condone homosexuality, or turn a blind eye to it, or they place women in their pulpits All of these things being in clear opposition to God's design and what God has said. God's word was around a lot longer than anything in the world, and it will remain the same for all time. And this scripture is worthy of repeating this morning. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, God's book will never steer you wrong, but it will surely steer you right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the content of the Christian faith is doctrinal. Now, there are those who don't want to talk about doctrine in the churches because it might offend somebody. And when people get offended, the fear is, and the thinking goes, that the membership will fall and the coffers will shrink. The motive is sick. But the church must speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The whole point of the Bible as it relates to the Christian living out his or her life is that there be a body of truth and that it be faithfully taught by those appointed for that purpose according to God's guidelines. There are those who don't want to hear about theology. I'm not a Bible student. What do we need theology for? Just give me the truth, the bottom line. Well, what do I say to that? What is theology? The study of God. That's the translation of that word. When we study God, what happens? We learn about Him. We learn more and more about His character. And by understanding His character more, we can better obey the biblical exhortation to imitate Christ. Now, the most essential doctrine of the Christian faith, of course, is salvation by grace through faith, which involves believing in the content of the salvation message. There are those who add works to the gospel by claiming that sacraments or other human works can impart saving grace. This is a false gospel. The Bible says, believe and be saved. There are those who teach that speaking in tongues or some other gift is necessary for salvation. This too is a false gospel, because it adds conditions to salvation that God never added. Therefore, let them be accursed. Others claim that there are many ways to attain to heaven, which is a denial of the exclusive nature of the gospel. There is only one name under heaven that is given by which men must be saved. That is Jesus Christ. This is the apostles' doctrine. It's written in this book. There are also religious systems, generally cultic in nature, which deny the deity of Christ and or the Trinity, the eternal Godhead of all three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In denying the power of God behind the message, a false gospel is presented. We are to contend for the faith, not compromise it. When we contend for something, we promote it. Christian, contend for the faith by your words, by how you live. Now, a husband who loves his wife will contend for her affection by romancing her. But that man will have no sense of humor at all when another man contends for the affections of his wife. Will he? God is jealous in the same sense, for worship accepts no compromise. It's written in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." Beware of compromising your faith on one point, for many have fallen away by doing so. Compromise may be expedient for a while, but guess what? When you don't stand for anything, when you compromise, you're going to lose your respect and your testimony, and worst of all, you're going to sacrifice your close communion with Christ, if indeed you ever had it. I say this by way of exhortation, that you might look upon yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Let's get some object lessons. Let's see where compromising with false doctrine leads us. To that end, we're going to illustrate it in today's ecumenical movement. There is a movement afoot today to unify various Christian groups and often non-Christian groups all into one unit. It all sounds wonderful until we see what we get as a result. Now, within professing Christendom, there are four general categories of belief. There are those who place human tradition on the same plane as Bible truth. That plane is destined to come crashing into a mountain. There are those who are liberal in that they do not accept the fact that God meant what he said when he inspired the words of Scripture. You've heard of this, right? Such folks who convene a synod or a church council, and they go and they vote on what they think God should have said. God doesn't get a vote. They vote on what they think God should have said, and they vote that certain sins are okay, or certain things contrary to God's truth are okay, and they disregard what God said. They lock them out of the room. And they go and they go teach this foolishness. There are those who place emotional experience or so-called prophetic visions and the like on a higher plane than God's objective truth, really, if ever, testing them against God's word. If you have an experience or you feel something, some movement of the Spirit or what have you, test it against the book, whether it be real, true, or false. Many seem to make themselves authorities by considering themselves apostles, prophets, so-called faith healers. All of these things are understood differently, of course, in their theology than what the Bible teaches. How many faith healers have you seen in the local hospital? You see any over at Landmark? Maybe they don't have Blue Cross. I don't know. They got one of those letters, so they don't go. I don't know. But there they are, week after week, fleecing the flock in the church. Take heed to such men and women. Now, the fourth category of professing Christians are those who affirm the Bible as the guide in all matters of faith and practice, understood in its literal sense, unless the context proves otherwise, of such a way. Now, when you put all or some of these groups together, you get confusion. It's like taking four random ingredients and mixing it together and think you're going to get something that passes for food. Right? We did this in the Chinese buffet, right? That little experiment. We've got ice cream and fried rice and chicken fingers and egg rolls all stirred into one. What do you get? What do you get? Nothing. Nothing. You can't mix them. They're not compatible with one another. So you end up with confusion. And all that can be agreed upon by all of these four aforementioned groups is that Jesus Christ is somehow involved in this. And so you end up with a confused message of salvation. And this is basically what we get in the World Council of Churches and the Rhode Island Council of Churches. The entities, ecumenical entities that claim to speak for Christ, they stand for nothing except one thing. Do a Google search on this, friends. Rhode Island Council of Churches. What do they stand for? Jessica Alquist and the atheists. They took a stand for that this year to remove a prayer banner. This so-called Christian organization. What do they stand for? Now, good works and social justice are stressed, and these are good things, but people are not being saved. And real revival, Bible-based revival, is not taking place. This is because true Christian unity is not created by men and women, but by God through His gospel. It is illustrative in recent American history how many of today's denominations no longer take a stand on doctrines that Jesus took a stand for because they started down that road to compromise decades ago until it became an institutional cancer that no man can cure, and there has to be a separation. The true Bible-believing Christians have to come out from among them. Now, the Apostle Paul counsels that we practice doctrinal purity and be separate from those who teach error, saying, "Now, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned." Who are the people who are causing divisions and offenses? Not the people who are offending people who are saying that sins are okay. The people who are causing divisions and offenses are those who are the ones who are teaching the false gospel, teaching false doctrine. And do what? Avoid them. Not try to make friends with them. Not try to make them better people. Not try to get together with them and create some big happy harmony, thinking that maybe they'll come over to the truth in time. No, avoid them. This is the principle of biblical separation. Join with those who preach the gospel and teach the gospel aright. And there are many such people in many such churches, but avoid those who do not. Why? For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Be a Berean and test the Scriptures daily to test the truth of what you hear and read concerning Christ Jesus. So don't take my word for it. See what the book says. Always go back to the book. That's why when I give a message like this, which may be controversial to some, and is primarily a composite of several scriptures melded together, there's a paper there that you can go and you can read it. And if you're not sure if I misquoted something or pulled it out of context, go look it up. Go look it up. I encourage you to do so. Take the time to find out the beliefs of those you see, hear, and keep company with. Now, many of the megachurch pastors popular in media today and TV and your radio have compromised the gospel message for the sake of popularity, doing things such as affirming that homosexual behavior is okay, which it is not. Doing things such as affirming that Mormonism is not a cult, which it is. Say it like it is. Beware of those who practice the occult means of telepathy. You know the show or shows like it. I sense today that somebody needs to be healed. And while they're sensing that, look at the bottom of your screen. Send some money and become a charter member of blah, 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 whatever. Avoid Pentecostals and those who call themselves charismatic Christians, for they blaspheme the Holy Spirit by misusing His gifts, adding pagan practices borrowed from Eastern religions. Most add the condition to salvation. They exalt men and women above the pillars of the faith. Many deny the security of salvation and the truth of the doctrine of the Trinity. And a few even deny that the saved even struggle with the sin nature. Listen to this kind of foolishness that they preach. And I'll quote from the horse's mouth. This is false doctrine under the guise of fundamental doctrine. The basic and fundamental doctrine of this organization shall be the Bible standard of full salvation. And then you tell you what they think it is, which is repentance, baptism in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. How many things are we going to add to the gospel? What kind of foolishness is this? Don't deal with these people. I'll close with 3 points of advice. Although there are very few sound Bible teachers out there today, I'll name them: Les Feldick, David Jeremiah, and John MacArthur, of all of good sound doctrine. You want to listen to somebody? Listen to these guys. They're gonna stick to the word. They're gonna steer you right. Always participate in public worship at a local church that exalts Jesus Christ as God and holds fast to God's Word and its doctrine. However, the best Bible teacher is God the Holy Spirit, and the best book is the Holy Bible itself. There are no substitutes for it. Read it and get truth and wisdom to apply for life's journey. Now, I said many things here this morning. I hope that you'll take away from this the need for truth, an understanding of the biblical principle of separation according to the truth. My purpose is not to malign other people or other groups, although I have exposed some this morning, but rather my purpose is to spare you the grief of going down the wrong road by taking such teachings as gospel, to warn the faithful, which is part of my charge. I pray, Heavenly Father, that all here experience the truth of your salvation day by day. And if there are any in my hearing, either in this place or listening on the internet or via media somehow, that you'll speak to their hearts. May the name of Jesus Christ be exalted in all things. Amen and amen.